First, Congress passed a short-term funding bill yesterday to reopen the government after it partially shut down over the weekend. Lawmakers reached an impasse last week, which ultimately led to the partial shutdown. The measure passed last night and was signed by President Trump. So it's all over, but the blame and the ongoing debate over immigration and another funding deadline in just a couple of weeks. Susan Johnson joins us now. She's an associate professor of political science and the director of the Center for Political Science and Public Policy Research at UW-Whitewater. Susan, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Rob.
Well, there's a lot of media talk about the winners and losers when we come out of a shutdown like this. On a wider note, Susan, do you think that this erodes trust in Congress and government, maybe even more than it had already been eroded?
That's a really hard one, because what is approval rating for Congress right now? In the low teens? So I'm not sure that it could get much lower. And President Trump's approval rating is, you know, hovering at about 40%. I think that for most people, it's business as usual, or I guess I would say a lack of business as usual. And I don't know that this markedly is going to make a difference.
How does this one compare to the last big shutdown back in 2013?
That one went quite a bit longer. And so that one extended to about 2 weeks. And so there would have been more impacts, I would say, on people's lives. And there would have been more attention to getting it resolved, because things that people expect to happen weren't happening in terms of the service of government. With this one, given the fact that it happened on a, you know, Friday into Saturday, so it was mostly just over the weekend, and it was so brief, people didn't necessarily, I don't think, even know unless you were following it in the news.
On a fundamental level, we've got this system where we keep having to have these debt ceiling votes, these funding appropriations to keep the government running, and there's this apparent temptation, if you have enough pull, enough votes in Congress, to take an issue and kind of hold that overall funding hostage. So in 2013, it was Republicans trying to cut funding for the Affordable Care Act. This time it was Democrats trying to come up with a DACA solution for the so-called Dreamers, the people brought into the country illegally. As long as we have this system, are we going to keep seeing this temptation to do this kind of thing?
I don't see why we wouldn't. I mean, we used to do budgeting under what we called regular order. And I won't go into all the details, but it was a process. And now we're at the point where, I mean, since September, we've had 4 continuing resolution votes, and now we're at the point where we're coming up on another one in just a couple of weeks. And this is even out of the ordinary for what I would say over the past 10 years has been budgeting by continuing resolution.
And this whole hostage-taking thing as a tactic, Republicans wanted to cut funding for the Affordable Care Act. That didn't happen. Democrats wanted DACA changes as a condition here. That didn't happen. Ultimately, it doesn't seem to work very well.
Well, no, and Matt, you alluded at the beginning of the segment to the fact that winners and losers and placing the blame and things like that, and the Democrats are taking a lot of heat for what some are saying is giving in after just a couple of days and getting nothing more than a promise that the Senate will debate on immigration legislation.
Talking to Susan Johnson from UW-Whitewater about the brief shutdown and what happens next. A lot of lawmakers have weighed in on this. Here's House Speaker Paul Ryan of Wisconsin talking about the outcome yesterday.
This shutdown did not need to happen. However brief, it inflicted needless costs on the country. There are no winners here today. I want to make that clear. No winners except perhaps the millions of families who depend on the Children's Health Insurance Program. Soon, the longest reauthorization in the program's history will about to become law. But this is not a moment to pat ourselves on the back, not even close. We very much need to heed the lessons of what just happened here. We need to move forward in good faith, yes, on DACA and immigration, yes, on funding our military so that it gets the resources that our military so badly needs. Let's address these urgent challenges.
Susan, let's pick one of those challenges he just mentioned, DACA and immigration. And this is still going to be tough. The Senate, there appears to be maybe room for a bipartisan agreement there. A lot of House Republican conservatives say it's a non-starter for them. The president has given various signals over the last couple of weeks on what he'd sign. What do you make of, as of this minute, the state of the debate over DACA and immigration?
Well, I think that you laid it out pretty well. The Senate, like you said, there's a group of Republicans in the Senate who have been very active in advocating for immigration reform. Lindsey Graham, for example, has been doing this for quite a while in the Senate. And there seems to be an agreement that the Senate could pass a bill that would provide protection for those impacted by DACA and then make some other changes as well. So I think that there could be compromise there. When you move over to the House, you have, as Speaker Ryan indicated recently, the idea that he would be invoking what is called the Hastert rule, which means that you don't pass anything out of the House unless the majority of the majority is supportive of it. So that idea would be that any immigration changes that would come out of the House would have to have a majority of Republicans supporting it. And I think that that's really tough given the range of positions on immigration, and the House tends to be more conservative in the context of this issue, or there tends to be a more vocal group in the House that's more conservative on this issue. And as far as President Trump goes, Mitch McConnell, the Senate Republican leader himself, said that we have no idea what President Trump is looking at. And I heard him as recently as yesterday say we need to know what he's willing to support and go along with. So as far as what happens, I think we have a commitment in the Senate that there will be some debate and perhaps some votes, but that's about all we know right now.
When it comes to DACA and protections, again, for people brought into the country illegally as children, they had this protection from deportation under the Obama administration. The Trump administration says that's ending. It's tied up in the courts. It seems like public opinion is in favor of continuing these protections. What are we hearing from Congress and the president? Do people want to provide protections for the DACA recipients?
You're right. When you look at polling data, it's really not even close. I mean, it's pretty a strong majority of the country supports the idea of providing some sort of protection. The president has pretty consistently spoken in support of this group of what we call the Dreamers and providing them some sort of protection. But at the same time, he's also in other forums or on Twitter not spoken in support of this policy. So it's really difficult. When you talk to members of Congress, all Democrats and a lot of Republicans, there's support there. But I think we have to consider, I guess, what is it that other people want in exchange for these protections? Because that kind of gets down to the nuts and bolts of it. And when you're thinking about, let's say, some of the more conservative Republicans in the House of Representatives who are maybe not as supportive but could be swayed, they're going to want a whole lot more to go into a package. Border security, for example, significant changes to the way that we allow immigrants into this country regarding things like family members being able to sponsor other family members or the diversity lottery and things like that. And so I think it's a matter of not just support of DACA, but what concessions are Republicans, particularly in the House, going to demand in order to get something to protect DACA passed.
This has been a long story with immigration reform, arguments over whether Congress should take one issue at a time, just DACA or just the status of people here illegally or just security than the other stuff or one big bill. And it seems like we can't even agree how to argue about this and put it in a forum to be debated in Congress.
Well, right, and this goes back to, President George W. Bush tried to advance this idea of comprehensive immigration reform, so this isn't the first time that we've struggled with it, but I would say both sides are very suspicious, and I would say rightly so, that who wants to be the one to go first to say, we'll give you this on a promise that we'll talk about that later. I don't know in this environment that I would make that bet.
Susan Johnson is with us, Associate Professor of Political Science and Director of the Center for Political Science and Public Policy Research at UW-Whitewater. She's with us to talk about this weekend's partial government shutdown and what happens next. You can join in now at 800-642-1234. What do you think of the government shutdown? What do you think it means for our elected leaders? Should it be a wake-up call? If you are in support of Republicans, do you like how they handled it? If you're a Democrat, what do you think of the way Chuck Schumer and others handle it? There's been criticism from the left in the Democratic Party. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or tweet us at Central Time WPR. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation about the government shutdown with Susan Johnson. She's an associate professor of political science at UW-Whitewater. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What are your opinions on the government shutdown this weekend, on the series of continuing resolutions, last-minute fixes on the federal budget, and how Congress and the president should tackle immigration issues, including the Dreamers, DACA? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. Want to give a listen to Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer on the Democratic side of things. Here's what he said yesterday.
The majority, however, has forgotten the lessons of the Founding Fathers. They have shown that they do not know how to compromise. Not only do they not consult us, they can't even get on the same page with their president from their own party. The congressional leaders tell me to negotiate with President Trump. President Trump tells me to figure it out with the congressional leaders. This political catch-22, never seen before, has driven our government to dysfunction.
Susan, can you talk about what he said about Republicans there, differences, maybe confusion between congressional Republicans and the Republican president?
Well, I think that it's a challenge for congressional Republicans in the sense that they can't necessarily, if they were asked to state the president's position on immigration, I don't know that they'd be able to do it. And as I said earlier, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell has said as much. And we've heard President Trump talk quite nicely about the Dreamers, but we also know that President Trump made a major part of his campaign platform building the wall and making other changes to immigration policy. So as far as, if you think about the president as being the leader of his party and therefore setting the agenda, it's really difficult because it becomes a moving target, not just day to day, but hour to hour and sometimes in 15-minute increments.
Let's go to our callers now. We have Paul with us in Wausau. Paul, hi.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. What do you think, Paul?
Well, I was just mentioning how it seems like both sides kind of nobody wants to give it all. It's almost like, hey, if you're not going to give us A, B, and C, we're not going to give you 1, 2, and 3. And, nothing will get done if they want DACA, the other side wants a wall. Well, either somebody's going to have to compromise or we'll just be continuing the shutdowns and, what do they say, kicking the can down the road.
Paul, thanks a lot for the call. Susan, has Congress gotten worse at compromise?
Oh, I would think absolutely. And I think that, I've heard an interesting argument made by several people lately that we need to return earmarks to the budgeting process. And earmarks are where a member of Congress can be, offered a lane widening or a new bridge or stuff, something in their district that would kind of get them to go along with a bill or a budget item. And I find that really interesting because they were eliminated because people thought that amounted to a bit of bribery. But now we're at the point where it's become so difficult to move things through the legislative process and make these sort of compromises that people are, bringing up some of these ideas that we moved aside in the name of reform.
Paul, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. We'll go to Clint from St. Louis, but here in Wisconsin right now. Clint, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What do you think?
I'm enjoying the program.
Thanks.
And what I really think is you brought it up about many of these continuing resolutions. that the Constitution requires we have a budget every year. That's not been done for 10 years. And how would you audit our country right now without a budget every year? So this is all smoke and mirrors. We're not getting to the problem. And therein lies it all. I mean, why not kick the can down the road? We don't hold anybody responsible. It doesn't matter whether you're a Democrat or a Republican.
Clint, thanks a lot for the call. Just do an actual budget, he says, Susan.
No, I couldn't agree more. I mean, and you know, like I said, when we teach this stuff, there's a process in place that requires a whole lot of stuff to go on in order to pass a yearly budget. And we used to do that. As a country, we used to pass the various appropriation bills as necessary. There used to be congressional hearings. There used to be feedback sought. And now we just bounce from continuing resolution to continuing resolution. And as the previous caller said, just keep kicking the can. And it's gotten kind of silly now where we're passing not even, you know, ones that go for months and months or even for the whole year, but now we're at 2 weeks at a time.
Clint, thanks for that call. We're talking to Susan Johnson from UW-Whitewater about the shutdown and the aftermath. Back to your calls now. Peter is with us in Madison. Peter, hi.
Hi. I was really disappointed that the Democrats bailed out on their strategy so early on. I feel like if they actually kept the government shut down for a week or maybe 2 weeks, they might actually had a chance to win a compromise and maybe win over some moderate Republicans that would actually want to vote for something on immigration. I just really disappointed that they caved so early. I think that they didn't do themselves any favors, and they just made themselves look really weak.
Peter, thanks a lot for that call. Peter is not alone, Susan. A lot of liberal organizations criticizing Democrats in the Senate who voted for this, using phrases like cowardice, things like that. They wanted them to stick to the shutdown for longer on behalf of DACA. What do you think of maybe a rift between Democrats in the Senate and their some of their base, anyway?
Yeah, I think with the idea, one of the problems was that they were losing moderate Republicans, not picking them up. So that was one problem. One of the best ways I heard this described was that Chuck Schumer made, and he's the minority leader for the Democrats in the Senate, that he went with the 2018 senators and not the 2020 senators. And what that means is that he made the decision that what was best likely for senators coming up for re-election. I mean, these are purely political decisions, and maybe people don't want to hear that, but they are. And so as a result, he went with that group who needed maybe to not have the government be shut down. And a lot of the senators who have come out and spoken against this are also eyeing a White House run in 2020. So it seems like what the Democrats were doing was looking at what's the potential short-term negative. And therefore made the decision that way. But, yeah, they're in big trouble with a lot of their liberal supporters.
Thanks for the call, Peter. We'll go now to Sue in Fish Creek. Sue, hi.
Hi, how are you doing? I have two very different points. One is this can't be kicked down the road because we're talking about 800,000 human beings' lives versus an inanimate object, a wall. And it is very startling to me that our country would pit human life against an inanimate object in argument. And the other one is we're a Foreign Service family, and I truly feel like it's the job of the government to make a budget. This has affected our lives overseas off and on. It's their job. One of their jobs is to get a budget. And when they don't have a budget, they should be docked pay. Their paychecks should stop, and they should be docked a certain amount of money for each day that they don't have a budget in place. And I bet they would come to consensus.
Sue, thanks for the call. And Susan, in addition to Sue's idea, I've seen some analysis suggest maybe this is, if you're weighing, do I go into government service or not, this risk of shutdown and disruption and not getting paid for a while is something on the side of the scale that says, no, stay out of that kind of job.
Right, yeah. I mean, I agree that might be something that might keep you out of it.
Sue, thanks a lot for the call. Susan, everybody in the media, I think, is analyzing who wins, who loses, as I said at the outset in this. But in the long haul, say by November, voting time, do people remember what happened over the last few days?
Honestly, no, I don't think so. I mean, I think this was such a short time, and the news cycle has gotten to be so short lately that there will be so many things yet this month, let alone through November, that I think this becomes a distant memory by the time that happens.
And now the federal government is, as you said, funded for a couple of weeks. February 8th, I think, now is the deadline. Are we having these conversations again in 2 weeks?
Maybe. I mean, I guess it depends what we see come out of the Senate. And I think to Sue's point about kicking the can, it is about people and more than just the can, you know, but it's still a very important thing.
Susan, thanks a lot, as always, for joining us today.
Absolutely.
We've been talking to Susan Johnson. She's an associate professor of political science and director of the Center for Political Science and Public Policy Research at UW-Whitewater. She joined us to talk about the government shutdown this weekend, the short-term budget measure approved yesterday to keep the government going for another 2 weeks or so, and whether this impacts the public's trust in government. Still time for you to share your thoughts on this ongoing issue. You can tweet us at Central Time WPR, or you can post on the Ideas Network Facebook page.